Hello, my name is Tom Boone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. This week, you're stuck with just me as Joe is away, so here's what I'll look at. Historic rains have been affecting flights in Dubai. I'll look at the impact before seeing how tensions between Iran and Israel have been affecting flights. Next, some lighter news as we look at a new Lufthansa development in Frankfurt, before looking at a new Royal Jordanian partnership. So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And I wanted to start this week's podcast by talking about something ongoing in Dubai over the last couple of days. Now, when I was in Dubai for the air show last November, there were some pretty intense rains. I remember having to leave the hotel because the fire alarm went off at about 2 a.m. and there was even some water in the elevator, which was a bit freaky. But, you know, it's been going from bad to worse this week for Dubai, as it's had its worst ever rainstorm since records began. And the records have been going on longer than Dubai or even the United Arab Emirates has been a country. An unprecedented 4.7 inches of rain fell in the space of 24 hours over Dubai. So that's about equal to 1.5 years worth of normal rainfall. Now, you can see this basically meant the whole place ended up totally flooded. Dubai has quite a dry climate and it's not used to having rain. So as such, the facilities for draining rainwater in Dubai are not as strong as somewhere where it rains a lot. In fact, you can see videos where it's literally raining inside the Dubai Mall. But I think from an aviation point of view, the most interesting video was of a Fly Dubai Boeing 737 taxiing at Dubai Airport. Now, I say taxiing, this aircraft really was rather swimming. There was a solid layer of floodwater all over the Dubai Airport, and you can see where this is going. Given the floodwater, the airport had to close for a period of time, leaving to some interesting diversions and a lot of flight cancellations. This situation was actually so dire that Emirates completely suspended checking in for new flights out of Dubai at one point. Of course, it wasn't just the flights that were affected, though. Even when flights were operating or scheduled to operate, passengers were having difficulty getting to the airport because the rest of the city was also flooded. There were some impressive images of the Sheikh Zayed Highway covered in water across all 12 lanes. Interestingly, given the global nature of aviation and Emirates' operation, the impact hasn't just been for Dubai. Last night, as I record this, it seems as though an Airbus A380 was able to break Heathrow's curfew to depart for Dubai in an effort to get things back on track. And some passengers have also been having a tricky time booking new flights from Dubai, given just how many need to be reaccommodated. Before recording this, I just checked Expert Flyer and could see that there are no tickets available from Dubai to Manchester for over a week. And just an hour before recording this podcast, Emirates additionally said that it would not be allowing passengers who are transiting Dubai today to check in at their point of origin. Now, this will presumably open up seats to people who are currently stranded in Dubai, but it may not be popular with the passengers who are affected. On this, Emirates commented, "Emirates is suspending check-in for all customers in our network with onward connections through Dubai until 23:59 hours GMT on the 19th of April. This is equivalent to 3:59 Dubai time on the 20th of April. Customers with connections in Dubai will only be accepted at their point of origin if their flight departs after 23:59 GMT. This is to support operation recovery from the recent bad weather at our Dubai hub. Passengers already in Dubai and in transit will be accepted for their flights. Customers travelling to Dubai as their final destination may check in and travel as usual. Customers can expect delays to departures and arrivals and are advised to check the latest flight status. Impacted customers should contact their booking agent or Emirates office for rebooking options. Emirates extends our sincerest apologies to impacted customers who have experienced delays and disruptions to their travel plans. We appreciate how difficult it is for everyone affected." But this isn't the only disruption that the region has seen in the past week. Last Saturday, Iran launched a barrage of drones at Israel. With the safety of commercial aviation potentially placed at risk, a large chunk of airspace was closed between Iran and Israel. This naturally led to some cancellations and diversions, but also led to a lot of rerouting around the region, some of which remains in place today. The trouble had already been brewing since last Thursday, when Lufthansa revealed that it would be suspending flights to Tehran due to the threat of conflict. One of the flights most affected, though, is the QF9 non-stop service from Perth to London Heathrow Airport. This is the world's fourth longest flight after Singapore Airlines' two flights to New York, JFK and Newark Liberty International, along with Qatar Airways' Auckland to Doha service. Perth to Heathrow is getting near the max range of the Boeing 787-9 that operates the service. This flight needs to fly right over Iran for the shortest routing, and this means that a diversion around the affected area puts London Heathrow out of range. Qantas has been cancelling Flight 9, and instead it's been operating Flight 209 with a stop in Singapore for fuel. It is routing to the north of the affected area on the trip to Heathrow, but with winds on their side on the way back, the return QF10 has continued to operate as a non-stop flight, albeit with a diversion to the south of the affected region. On the diversion, Qantas commented, "We're temporarily adjusting the flight paths of our flights between Perth and London due to the situation in parts of the Middle East. We'll reach out to customers directly if there's any change to their booking." Now, according to Bloomberg, Iranian airspace was again forced to close last night as I record this, due to a retaliatory strike from Israel. Emirates has resumed flights over Iran since the last closure, but looking at Flight Radar 24 today, I noted that flights are routing south of the area through Saudi Arabia once more. Now, a slightly lighter topic, I wanted to talk about a recent Lufthansa development that will be taking place in Frankfurt over the next couple of years. The Lufthansa Group plans to build a new conference and visitor center adjacent to its main office space. This facility is set to open in 2026, and that will coincide with 100 years of history of the German flag carrier. The highlight of the new conference center will be its contents. The building will house two historic aircraft owned by the airline. While Berlin is the capital city of Germany, Lufthansa and the Lufthansa Group have their main office space at Frankfurt Airport, which happens to be the Germany's busiest airport. Now, the airline group is looking to expand its footprint at the airport even further, and it announced that it will be building a new building adjacent to the Lufthansa Aviation Center, which is its main office space. This new building is being angled as a visitor center and conference center, and the group intends that the facility will be a venue for new forms of collaboration for the group's employees. However, the carrier also revealed that the facility should become a popular location for aviation enthusiasts, where it will showcase the airline's history. The highlight of the building will be two historic aircraft, a Junkers Ju-52 and a Lockheed L-1649 Superstar, on display in the foyer. The Junkers Ju-52 was built in 1936, meaning that it will be 90 years old when Lufthansa celebrates its 100th anniversary. According to a now-deleted Deutsche Lufthansa Berlin Stiftung webpage, Lufthansa first operated this aircraft as Delta Alpha Quebec Uniform India. With four crew, the aircraft would carry 16 passengers. This aircraft eventually found itself doing air shows in the United States, and Lufthansa repurchased it back in 1984. It then went on to restore the aircraft, and it was sent to storage in a Bremen warehouse along with the Superstar in late 2019. Now, Lufthansa will celebrate its 100th birthday in 2026, and the airline can trace its heritage back to Deutsche Lufthansa AG, founded on January 6, 1926, and this took its first flight on April 6th. Today, the airline is not the same legal entity established in 1926. This legal entity was dissolved in 1951 by Allied nations following the conclusion of World War II. Rather, the current company was founded as the Aktiengesellschaft für Luftverkehrsbedarf, try saying that three times quickly, in 1953. This company then bought the name, trademark and colours from the original Lufthansa on August 6, 1954 and took its first flight on April 1, 1955. Now, to wrap up, I wanted to talk a little bit about a new Royal Jordanian partnership that could prove important for frequent flyers. Jordan-based Royal Jordanian has announced its new partnership with Plusgrade. Now, you may know Plusgrade as the company that makes the software you may see on airline platforms when you can bid for upgrades. The new collaboration, though, is rather focused on Royal Jordanian's frequent flyer program, offering new points and status opportunities. As part of the One World Alliance, status with Royal Jordanian Royal Club can be incredibly handy for those frequently flying with the Alliance. The airline recently held a paid status match, which may well have seen its number of members increase. Now these new members have even more possibilities. Now, Plusgrade and Royal Jordanian have already been working together for a decade with the latter's Go Crown product. This is an upgrade solution which allows passengers to bid on business class upgrades. They can decide on what they think the upgrade is worth, whether that's, I don't know, like €80 up to €260 maybe, as an example. And if you went in at the €80 point and somebody went in at the €260 point and there was only one upgrade, then it would obviously go to the person who upgraded or bid the most money. But now a new partnership is giving members the ability to fast track their way to premier travel experiences. Every member of the Royal Jordanian Royal Club status program will be able to buy miles, transfer miles, and receive miles. It does appear to be a stipulation that a member must have taken at least one flight segment, though this appears to be with any partner of the One World Airline. Alliance, sorry. Assuming that a member has accumulated at least 5,000 tier miles, the system that the status is based on, they will be able to buy the additional miles that they need to move up to the next tier level. Here, the caveat is that you can only move up one level at a time, so you couldn't move from the lowest level to the highest level instantly. Commenting on the new partnership, Royal Air Maroc's CCO, Karim Malouf, remarked, "We look forward to the positive impact this past partnership will have for our most loyal travelers. By leveraging Plusgrade's loyalty expertise, we're able to improve our Royal Club membership with practical benefits that ensure increased flexibility with their rewards and an overall enhanced travel experience with our airline." Now, given that it may be possible to purchase miles, it's worth taking a look at just how many miles are required to reach each status level and what this is equivalent to in the One World loyalty scheme. To gain Silver Jay status, 15,000 points or 14 segments are required. Or if you need to maintain the status, you just need 12,000 points or 12 status segments. For Gold Sparrow, you need to collect 40,000 points or 30 segments, reduced to 30,000 points and 26 segments to maintain status. And finally, for Platinum Hawk status, you need to fly 46 segments or collect 65,000 points. Now, to maintain this status is actually higher. You need 110,000 points or 80 segments, but you have twice as long to reach this goal to maintain status. So for all of the other things, you just have 12 months to get the relevant points or segments. But to maintain Platinum Hawk, you get 24 months. So looking at the One World mapping, Silver Jay is equivalent to One World Ruby. Gold Sparrow is equivalent to One World Sapphire, and Platinum Hawk is equivalent to One World Emerald. Now, I know that's been quite a quick whistle-stop tour of aviation. As you can imagine, it's a lot harder to just speak one person than having a nice little conversation with Jo, and hopefully she can be back soon. But I think that's about it for today's podcast, and I do hope you enjoyed my ramblings and welcome any feedback at editorial@simpleflying.com. For more great content, as always, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. Simply search for Simple Flying. Now, if you enjoyed this podcast, please do leave us a rating on your favorite podcast player. Thanks for listening and goodbye.